Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Well, Lisa, thank you very much for joining us first.
Thanks. It's great to be back in Houston. I was here just a few weeks ago for the opening of the Challenge Cup, so it's good to be back.
All right. So let's get right to it. I mean, excitement today with a new owner, Mr. Siegel, taking over both the Dynamo and the Dash. Some of your initial thoughts on him as an owner and the things that are piquing your interest when it comes to growing the Dash and the NWSL.
Well, it's really exciting to see Ted come in. We've spoken a couple times, and he's had the chance to kind of meet a number of our owners. But I think what is really going to be great for the Houston Dash and the Dynamo and Houston is, like, his energy and excitement and the fact that he is young. You know, it's almost like he knew instinctively the right questions to ask when in our first conversation. So I'm really excited because I think we'll have a partner. We're a young league, too. So we're going to have a partner that's really going to invest in us for the long term.
Now, you have spoken a lot about helping the league get more relevancy, get more eyeballs. And in some ways, I would say, get more respect that it deserves. How do you go about doing that from the league office? In other words, I know you have a big corporate background. I know that you have tremendous connections. I've read about your career, by the way, which is pretty remarkable. Yeah. But how do you go about getting that? How do you garner more attention, more media, more of the things that can make this league, you know, platform to the next level, exposure-wise?
No, it's a great question, and I think that is kind of our biggest opportunity going forward, is to make sure that America and the world really discovers how great our league is, how competitive the play is, and the depth of talent. So it first starts with making the game as great as it can, and I'm really lucky that we have a committed group of ownership. We have, you know, chief soccer officers that are fighting to make sure our rules and the integrity of the game is as strong as it can be, and we continue to invest in that. So the first thing is the game. The second thing is to make sure that we have the partnerships, the media partnerships we need to be able to put it on broadly available mechanisms. So we announced our partnership with Twitch and CBS last year. We had an abbreviated season, and this year we are now really looking with them, both through broadcast and streaming, to expose our game, our players, to the broadest audience possible. So just coming off this weekend, Juneteenth and Father's Day, I'm really pleased to say that between CBS and Twitch, we had almost just shy of 700,000 people tuning in over the weekend to the game. But we continue to innovate. Just recently, we announced our first audio partnership with iHeartRadio, so people can stream the games from their phone. And we see that with our audience, which is so young, having it accessible digitally wherever people want to consume the game is important. So that's kind of like, those are the two things that we're doing. But I think the third thing is that, look, the world just loves our players. Like, look at this, their personalities, they're intense, they're competitive. I mean, who's more competitive than Rachel Daly in our league?
And
getting her known, getting players like Christy Mewis known, getting players like, you know, some of the plethora of talent now coming over from Europe into the game because they know how competitive our league is, and getting their stories told. That takes a little bit longer, but that's what our league, our teams, and our media partners are engaged in doing.
Talking to Lisa Baird, the commissioner of the NWSL. So let me just take you back a little bit, because the things you described were very big, very national-oriented stuff. What about the teams in their communities? With their players being the biggest assets you have, touching the hands of young soccer players, are we getting them out as much as we should be? Obviously, we didn't during the pandemic, but prior to the pandemic and now, are we getting them out for the face-to-face contact with with young women and young soccer players in general.
Yeah, no, and I think, remember I'm still a fairly new commissioner. Last year was my first year. So my whole exposure to the National Women's Soccer League has been under the most heavy-duty medical protocols one can imagine. And we're still very cautious about that, particularly as a number of our players, both the U.S. Women's National Team and international players are going to be going over to the Tokyo Olympics. So we have been ultra conservative in terms of letting our players out. My hope is that, as things loosen up, not only in Texas but around the world, that we will have the chance to get players engaged in the community again. I know they miss it. And it's been really difficult to kind of keep them contained because they want to be out in the fans. And, you know, one of the traditions that I saw on video when I came in and on film was after every match, the players would go around and thank the fans. That is such a special tradition, I think, in soccer in general, but in the NWSL. And to kind of have to cut that off artificially was not right. But I do think they will be more engaged once we're kind of through the bulk of it this summer.
Yeah, some of the best interviews I've done were with the personalities of the women of the league. Now, this one may be a little...
Oh, their personalities.
Yeah, absolutely. This one, and we're speaking to the commissioner, Lisa Baird of the NWSL. This one may be a little bit more difficult, but women's team sports in leagues that are day-to-day, I'm not talking about Olympics and World Cups, which we know it goes through the roof, especially here in the United States, for the U.S. Women's National Team. But day-to-day, doing that in a league, it's a challenge. And outside of a couple of markets in overall women's team sports, it's tough to get consistent draws. What do you think that is?
Well, like I think you just said it, we want attendance. To me, there's nothing like the live experience of seeing sport. I don't think we're the only league, women's or men's, that's struggling with attendance. I think, you know, with the incredible value that came with exciting audio-visual entertainment, mm-hmm. came a pressure on live attendance. So it's up to us to create the live experiences in the stadiums that are so special you can't miss them. And I do think we have some work to do that in the NWSL. But I keep coming back to the quality of the game on the pitch. I don't think anybody would argue from a professional soccer level, men's or women's, that the quality of the game isn't good enough in the NWSL. And the thing that I look at is every Sunday night, I look at the standings in our league. And yes, we're a small league. We're only 10 teams, 12 next year. But you know what? They change. And everyone can win in our league. And I think that kind of the narrowness of the competition in our league is what keeps fans engaged and keeps supporters coming out to the stadium because they know that they're a difference that can make the difference if their team wins.
All right, here's one from my years involved with women's soccer that's always bothered me. So we have a tremendous amount of women that have gone through the whole youth soccer thing with their parents, dragged to tournaments, playing their entire youth career. Many of them then go on to the college career. Many of them become credible leaders in the business community, mothers, family-oriented. But they aren't NWSL fans. Why is that? And that's a base of people that I think somehow we got to, you know, open Pandora's box here because they're all people that have had experiences playing the game. And I don't understand why they don't come out to the game more to support the ladies in the NWSL.
Well, I think we're at an inflection point. I think you're right. That has been true in the past that it's been those magical moments when, you know, at the World Cup or at the Olympic Games, when you have the magic of a Fox or an ESPN or a CBS or an NBC bringing, you know, that pageantry to the surface. What I found, particularly in this season when fans have been allowed back, is how many new time fans we've seen coming to stadiums and bringing their daughter's team with them. So I was just at a New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC game a few weeks ago, and I decided to just sit in the stands with a stadium, and I met a woman who actually happened to be from my neighborhood where I live in Connecticut, and she had brought her whole daughter's soccer team with her. How nice was that?
Yeah.
40 tickets later. And she said, I never knew about it before. And so we always think that because we're so deeply immersed in it, that everybody heard about it. But last year and this year, with being the first team back last year, and being able to really expose our game and our league on national broadcast windows, which were in not only in the Challenge Cup, but in the fall, people discovered us for the first time that were kind of mainstream sports fans. And I think we have to keep the pressure on. We have to keep that media coverage, the journalist coverage up so that people want to tune in. And we're lucky enough in the women's game that both the Olympics and the World Cup are incredibly important tournaments for us. So I think, again, you'll see that spike this summer and coming back in the fall after the Olympic Games in Tokyo, after those players return home.
Talking to Lisa Baird of the NWSL, one more before I let you go, and thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it very much, and continued success with everything in the NWSL. According to media, you just mentioned a lot about media, and again, the national stuff. Are you pushing the local clubs in all these different great soccer cities to do more locally when it comes to media, whether it's radio, TV, engaging the public, creating relationships, and putting the olive branch out to local news stations, both on radio, TV, and obviously I know all the social media coverage.
Yeah, I think that is critical. Local coverage is critical to the health of any sports league. So we are excited to see two of our teams come out with local TV deals lately, Kansas City as well as Portland. But the iHeart deal, the iHeart partnership that we did at the league level brings the focus, and we're doing things nationally now to say, get out, support your local team, doing ticket buying things, because audio gives the ability to localize. But if we don't do things like we're doing today, which is take an ownership change and make it an opportunity for the local sports media to invest in the NWSL and invest in the MLS and not just the other leagues, we're missing the boat. So we've got to take advantage of every opportunity we have to be relevant in the local market.
So Portland and Kansas City have their own local TV deal, their own local commentators, and they're not just going off the national feed.
Well, they're doing both.
So they're doing both.
And that's the future.
So that's an effort there from those two clubs.
You bet.
Financially, because they've decided to give their hometown fans their own commentators, their own spin on calling the game. Is that correct?
Yeah,
fantastic.
That's right.
Lisa, thank you for your time. I know you navigated some choppy waters here with the pandemic. Congratulations on that success, and thanks for the time and coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.